Hello and welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. Starting this week, the first week of August 2016, I am proud to announce that the RevVR podcast has taken on a sponsor. Yes, that's correct. After all of this time, I have chosen to allow sponsorship. Now, some of you might be saying, well, why did you change your mind? Well, I have to explain that when Intel comes to you and says, we think that you are a major influencer in the VR community and your opinions are valuable, and we want to sponsor you. So let's just start by saying that I am dubbing August to be Build a New VR PC Month. And most of my loyal listeners and Twitter and Facebook followers know that I've been talking for quite a while about building a new machine so that way I can have all of the wonderful VR-ness without having evil messages from the software and the runtime saying you do not meet minimum requirements. So, yes, this month, all of the podcasts, we're going to try to make this a five-part series of podcasts about building a new VR PC. Is brought to you by Intel. So welcome Intel to the RevVR podcast family. It's nice to have you here. And while we're talking about people that we have here, I can't build a new PC unless I've chosen all the right hardware. And when I think about PC hardware, I looked into my repertoire of folks, of contacts, and I said, you know, I know who is going to be the best person to talk about all of this. And so I have with me today as our guest on this episode, Bob, a.k.a. Cause and Effects, who is one of the hosts of the nefarious Left-Handed VR podcast. Bob, how you doing today, buddy?
Fantastic.
That's good. So you guys just recently, the LHVR podcast, Left-Handed VR podcast guys, you guys got together and recorded an episode just this past week, didn't you?
Yep. We recorded this past weekend, and Matt's been back. He was gone for a few months. Jason and I recorded a couple podcasts since then, and so Matt's back, and this latest one will have that out in the next day or so. So by the time you listen to this, should be out to listen to.
That's awesome. Now you guys, you know, iTunes, Stitcher.
Yep. We're everywhere.
Major stuff. Yeah. That's good. That's good. So you and I, Bob, have had this conversation, several times over the course of the last couple, months. And I've been waffling back and forth about what hardware to get. And, well, you know, I don't know how many times we've had this conversation. I'm like, darn it, I should have just hit record. This would have made for a great podcast. So, again, for the loyal listeners, this is going to be, well, you know, actually, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say it might be a little technical, but I realize that today, in this day and age of a more technically inclined group of people running the world, that I don't have to be too afraid of going too technical. I mean, Bob, do you feel like nowadays you can say things like motherboard and processor and people just get it?
I think so. I mean, it's been, PCs have been around for so long now, and it's pretty common to be able to build your own. So I think in the VR space, a lot of these people are early adopters, and a lot of people build their own PCs. So I think it's okay to go down that road.
Yeah, I've been building my own computers. Actually, one of my first jobs, straight out of high school. Actually, I think I might have still been a senior in high school. I worked at a mom and pop computer place, and I built machines. Just. You know, 500 of the same computer sometimes for a big business. And that's where I kind of cut my teeth in terms of building new machines, learning about all the architectures and the parts and the cables and, you know, red goes to one. And for all those who remember IDE cables, you know, it's an acquired skill. It's a trait. I'm glad that I've lived through so many iterations of all this different technology. And, you know, sometimes people take for granted. I think, you know, I remember back in the day when every command had to be typed into DOS, and a gooey. What's a gooey? That sounds like somebody spilled a mess on the table somewhere, you know? I feel like I'm that old man sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, man. So what are we going to do here? You know, you and I, like I said, have had this conversation a couple times. What do I need to build? And that's really the key component to this first, you know, part of this this podcast series. What do I need? What's important, and then what's kind of fluff, and what is icing on the cake, and what's over the top? I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about minimum specs for VR, because we're gonna have that be a whole nother episode in and of itself. But what really do I need? So let's just start with the very basics. I need to pick an architecture. I need to pick a motherboard and chip combo and say, okay, everything's going to be built around this. I mean, you know, people don't realize that. They thought, like, oh, well, you know, I want to be able to use this new type of RAM, or I want to use this new hard drive, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. But really, if you're going to build something, the guts and the glory have to start with that core component, especially when it's a new build. If it's an upgrade, I understand. You know, people don't want to upgrade certain things. But when you're building a new PC from scratch, you gotta pick a motherboard and processor. Bob, what do you have right now in your machine?
My machine is currently an Intel Core i7-4790K, running at 4.4 gigahertz, and it's got four cores with hyperthreading.
Nice. Now, is that on what chipset is that motherboard? Is that
So it's on a Z97 chipset.
Okay, so Z97. So
yep, that's Intel Z97.
So that's is that what is that fourth generation, fifth generation?
Yeah, it's under the Haswell architecture.
Haswell. Okay. Right. So I'm actually running. My current machine is an Intel Core i7-2600K. I built this machine. Wow. It's been a while back, and it suited me. You know, I've since upgraded the RAM, put a new SSD hard drive in it. I've upgraded the video card a few times, but boy, I'll tell you what, this motherboard chip combo lasted me. I mean, it lasted me quite a while. And I remember at the time when I was building this machine, I had to make that decision of, you know, do I go Intel Core i5 or do I go Intel Core i7? And really, you know, those extra threads, you know, the hyper threading, the cores, I knew that I was going to be multitasking. And so I knew that I was going to need oomph. And that's where the hyper threading and the extra cores come into play. I mean, you obviously chose an Intel Core i7 as well.
And those are great chips for their time, in my opinion.
Oh, they were. It was fantastic. I remember I spent the extra to get that, and I wanted the K. So for those of you who don't know, when the Intel processors have that K at the back of the name, it means that it's unlocked and it's ready to go for overclocking. And so if you get the right combination of motherboard and chip, you end up with the ability to, you know, turn it up to 11.
That's right.
If you're a Spinal Tap fan. Yeah, I mean, that's really, I remember going all out at the time in building that machine. And, you know, this machine still runs great. And I have to admit, it runs VR. So the machine that I have right now, the current setup, it runs VR adequately. Now, the difficulty is, I'm a streamer. I do YouTube. I do screen capture. I want to play with mixed reality. I'm doing a Rift. I'm doing a Vive. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm also developing with Unity and developing for multiple platforms, Android, iOS, HoloLens, Google Cardboard, or Daydream, whatever it's called now. I need more. I need the ability to do more. And so the plan here is that I build a machine that's capable of doing it all, but I'm going to offload all of the streaming and capturing to this older machine. So it gives me the ability to have two machines so I could do multiplayer, ha ha ha, or I could have one do the actual playback or one do the playing of the game and the other one do the capturing and the encoding and all the, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, Bob, you've done some, have you ever tried to do any recording or, you know, streaming?
I've done some streaming. I record and stream the Gunner's Universe occasionally when my brother is traveling. So I have done some streaming.
Do you find that your current setup handles the VR and the streaming?
Typically, I don't do both at the same time, because if I'm streaming from and in VR, it won't have I don't want to have to worry about any performance drops or anything like that. So I just do desktop when I'm streaming.
Okay. Yeah. You become one of those, what do they call it? A screener. Damn screeners. Yep. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I've had to do that myself several times. So, okay. Right now we're in the middle of two possibilities. I could choose the X99 architecture, or I could choose the Z170 architecture. So I want to talk a little bit about the differences between the two. And I think you and I have had this conversation several times. You know, that X is, well, that stands for Extreme Edition. So X99 versus Z170, what's your take on the differences between the two?
Really when it comes to the Z170 series is I'd say geared towards gamers. And the X99 chipset is geared towards extreme enthusiasts and workstation platform.
Right. So I guess I have to decide which one of those am I. You know, because here's the other challenge too. You know, in the past, I have not been the type of person to upgrade processors. I usually stick with a processor and motherboard that gives me the option to upgrade my processor, but I have not ever actually done it. But I like the option to do so. Like, I'm sure that right now out there are some folks who might have an i5, an Intel Core i5 processor on a motherboard that can handle an Intel Core i7. And you're probably wondering, is it worth it to upgrade to that new chip? And the answer to that is, right now, yeah, it is. Because of the multi-thread, you know, the hyper-threading and the multi-core functionality that you're not going to get with your current chip, you're going to get that. And that's going to, I mean, it's going to boost an amazing amount, especially for VR. So people don't realize that, you know, all those extra cores and everything, they really add just that right amount of performance. And actually, there's been some studies done that actually show that the higher hertz rates up past 3.5 gigahertz is actually where you see the biggest improvement in terms of smoothing and in terms of, you know, frame rate and things like that. So I like the idea of the Z170, which I believe holds the current Skylake processors.
Yep, that's correct.
But what happens when the next generation comes out? Will the Z170 hold the next generation of Intel processors? And as far as I'm aware, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be okay if I go that route. With the X99 chipset, you know, you get all these extra pieces. So and we're going to talk about some of the things that you get with the X99, but you're at that point where you can get the processors that it uses are actually the Haswell.
They're the E processors, yeah, right? So they're kind of similar to the Xeon server processors in that they have more than four cores.
But, and that's all for the Extreme Edition, the X99 chipset. Now, if we go that route, one of the things that you end up with on this one, because it's a different, it's very specific. The Intel Core i7 processors that go on the X99 chipset, it's a different socket. And this is why I stress it so much, is that it's important for you to pick the right motherboard chipset now when you decide to build, instead of getting to a point later on down the build where you're like, oh, I've limited myself. Now I can't go any further. So, you know, the X99 is going to give you things like, you know, more PCI lanes, PCI Express lanes. Sounds like something you'd have in, you know, you're driving on the car, in the car, and you get all the way over to the left lane. It's like, oh, this is the PCI Express lane. What in the hell does that mean? Do you have any idea what all the different lanes means?
So the PCI lanes connect from your PCI slots in your PC where you plug in your video cards and other peripherals, and that connects to your processor. So the amount of lanes you have determines what speed that your graphics cards that connect to your CPU can run at.
So if you don't have as many lanes, then they kind of have to wait their turn, and suddenly you start to get traffic, and that causes a backup. Backup on the I-5, so you're going to want to take the route around the city, and it looks like we've got a disabled vehicle in the right lane, right past exit 14. I'm going to dub a helicopter sound over top of that little. It's important to have, you know, the lanes, but how many is what I need? And see, here we get back to the conversation of, what am I going to do with this machine? So right now, I look at the machine that I'm on right now, and I think to myself, this machine can play VR. It records fine. I do video editing on it just fine. This new machine, why am I building this new machine? I'm building this new machine so I can have pure VR bliss. I don't know if I'm going to develop on it. I don't know if I'm going to do any high-end recording. It's just to play games. So do I need to go to this Extreme Edition if I'm going to have two machines? Now, part of this process of this build a new VR PC month podcast series isn't just for me. I mean, obviously it is for me. It's for, you know, people to help me determine what I'm going to buy and how I'm going to, you know, how the experience is going to go. But really, it's also about educating the audience. What kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that's going to try to do everything with one machine, or are you the kind of person that is willing to have two machines, one that takes the brunt of all of the processing and streaming and editing, and then the other one is just pure game glory? I mean, just pure gaming. I mean, if I were to go with the Z170 chipset, that's what I'd be going for, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the X99, you really need, if you're going to be doing heavy development and lots of rendering, video editing, that sort of stuff, that's when, if you wanted to do like four video cards or three video cards and have like 128 gigs of RAM, you're going to have to go with that platform. But for just for high-end gaming, the Z170 chipset should do you just fine.
And see, that's the other thing, too, just for, you know, full disclosure, I'm purchasing all of these parts myself. So despite the fact that we have, you know, a paid sponsorship with Intel, it's not for, like, hey, look at all this hardware they gave me. That's not what this is about. It's all about, you know, what do I need to go out and buy myself? And so when I'm talking about my own money, I'm talking about what's going to get me the right solution for the right price. And right now, the Intel Core i7 processors are at a very good price, with the Z170 and then the X99 being just slightly more expensive, which they should be, because they're offering that extra oomph that you need if you're that heavy multitasker. But with having two machines, which this will be the first time I'll have this. I know a lot of professional streamers, they do this two machine setup, and I've always been jealous of that. This will be my first time, and I like the idea of having this pure gaming rig. I mean, imagine that I could take this rig somewhere else. Take it to, you know, we're going to talk about the case that I bought here in a little bit, but what if I want to take my PC and my Rift or my Vive somewhere else and set it up? I don't want to have all of my, you know, video editing crap attached to it. I mean, that's just not what I'm looking for. So I don't know. Bob, am I talking crazy here, or does any of this make sense?
It makes total sense.
Good.
I'd recommend the Z170 chipset for what you're looking to do.
What processor? I was thinking about getting the Intel Core i7-6700K. What do you think about that one?
That's pretty much your only option for the Z170 chipset for the i7 series. The other options would be i5s, which don't have hyper-threading. So for...
Right. Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure that that's going to be, and that's the chip. You know, I've been to several online stores and several retail stores, and I just keep ogling that Intel Core i7-6700K. I had one in my hand at one point, and I was like, I'm taking you home, my precious. And then I said, no, I don't know if I'm ready to make this kind of commitment. I think I'm ready now. So, all right. So we've got that under control. We're going to go with the Z170 chipset, and we're going to get ourselves a nice fat Intel Core i7-6700K. God, that thing's got 8 megabyte of cache.
So there is you can get additional variants of the 6700 processor. You can get it in the K and non-K version. So the K version allows for more overclocking.
Oh yeah.
So if you're budget conscious and right on the edge, you can get the 6700, and that'll be good too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I'm looking at it, there's like a dollar difference between the K and the non. So it's like, why wouldn't you just get the K? This thing runs at 4 gigahertz. Wow. But only 91 watts. Which brings us to the next question. And Bob, this is something I know you're very passionate about, and I'm going to let you go crazy on this. Do I need to go out and get myself a 1200 watt power supply?
No, you don't.
Just so, again, full disclosure, Bob and I have already had this conversation, but I need to give him this area to vent. So go for it, Bob.
So there's a popular misconception that if you're going to use 2 video cards, you need like 1,000 watt power supply. That's, or even with a single high-end GPU, you need like a 750-800 watt power supply. That's simply not the case. So my system, I'm running the Core i7-4790K and an NVIDIA GTX 980 superclocked. But I just ran a test a little while ago with a device that I have called a kilowatt. And what it allows you to do is plug in any device in between it and the wall, and it'll tell you how many watts your device is using. So I tried it with Grand Theft Auto 5 Online, and I put on the Oculus Rift and tried Farlands. And I didn't go over 235 watts pulling from the wall.
That's insane. 230 watts. And this was with the Rift, right?
Yep.
Okay, so this Rift that requires all of these USB 3, you know, it's sucking juice out of this thing like it's no tomorrow. 230 watts.
That's it.
Now how many, I can't believe I'm going to say this. How many different devices do you have bay-wise? Like, do you have any CD or DVD or Blu-ray drives in your machine?
Nope. It is a mini ITX system. The case I have is custom, and so it's only 9 liters, so it's real tiny. I have 2 SSDs, and for peripherals that I plugged in, I have a headphone amp and my Yeti microphone. And an Xbox controller. So there's some devices that are plugged in. I have the Rift plugged in, or I switch between the Rift and the Vive. The reason I tested the Rift is because the Vive has its own kind of, you know, power plug.
It cheats, yeah. It's got its own power.
I mean, the Rift doesn't really require a whole lot of power because it's only pulling off of the power off of USB. So it doesn't take too much, but, you know, it'll be a little bit more.
Well, it's a surprising number, and I know a lot of people go crazy over that. Like, well, I'm running, you know, quad SLI, crossfire, multi-drive, super external, blah, 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 blah. I seriously doubt that anybody in their life ever needs more than 700 watts. I mean, I would want to see. Now, obviously, well, why do they make 1200 watt power supplies? And I think part of that is because, number one, I feel like they could just jip people and get money for something that, you know, people overbuy. And so why not take advantage of that? But then there's also the practical reason of, well, you know, servers, you know, or,
yep.
You know, maybe you do have some ridiculously high-end piece of equipment that you're gonna have plugged into your computer that does require a big pool. But yeah, I ended up buying a Corsair 650i.
And that's more than enough.
Yeah, it's Gold Series. It's got all the cool, fun little detachable doodads, which, you know, having been building computers for, you know, 20 years plus, gosh, that's an amazing thing to only have to plug in the power cables that you need. Like, why didn't somebody come up with that 10 years ago? Seriously.
I only purchase those type of power supplies now.
It's just amazing. I love the fact that that exists. So power supply wise, I think I'm pretty solid, you know, and that's the nice thing about these new processors and everything is that, you know, they keep getting smaller and more efficient. You know, I can remember back days gone past, years gone past, where the idea of a 600 watt power supply wasn't going to cut it because you had six components and each one was taking up 200 watts. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, video cards have become, and processors have been, become a lot more efficient over the last 5-10 years. So, you know, maybe 5-7 years ago, you would have needed a bigger, for the high-end cards, you would have certainly needed a higher-end power supply because those cards are drawing more wattage. But as time goes on, the video card manufacturers have been getting more efficient. Intel has been getting more efficient with their chips. Mm-hmm. And so you don't need the huge power supplies anymore.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was just reading something about, you know, just processors in general. And this was something that I didn't actually know, is that, you know, how many years ago was that? 45 years ago. Intel invented the microprocessor. 45 years. I mean, that's just...
Wow.
I know. I look at the... It's like, it's 2016. 45 years ago. I mean, I remember my parents having one of those radios with the, you know, vacuum tubes. And, you know, we were over at my parents' house with my children, so the next generation. And they're looking in this radio, like, what are those? I'm like, those are vacuum tubes. Well, what do they do? Like, kids, let me introduce to you the grandmother of the transistor. You know, I mean, so many things have happened since then. It's just, it's crazy to think where all this stuff came from. But let's come back to this century. All right, so we've gone over power supply. We pretty much know which architecture and which parts I'm going to get. RAM, you know, I mean, it supports DDR4, and I'm the kind of guy that just goes ahead and just gets whatever the highest RAM that's available is. Any thoughts on RAM?
You can get 16 gig DIMMs. I think those are probably the biggest ones that you can put in.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, my dev machine at work has 64 gig of RAM. I don't know if I ever use it all.
Probably not.
So I'm thinking that, what, 32 should be adequate for this machine for a long
time? Yeah, what you could do is just buy, you know, fill up half the slots, just get a 2x16 kit.
Just get 2x16s, yeah. That's how I kind of figure. But do you recommend the DDR4? I know there's some limitations on, you know, how far up it can go. I think it's like 2133 or something like that.
Well, with the X99 and Z170 chipsets, DDR4 is your only choice.
Oh.
DDR3 is for the older chipsets, the Z97 and below.
Okay. So, thoughts on brands? I think Corsair is...
Corsair is good. I recommend them. Okay. G-Skill is good.
I hadn't heard of G-Skill with my last build. They weren't around with my last build, but I've heard their name quite a bit recently. So I'll have to check them out. I think it's going to come down to cost. I don't think RAM is as important, you know.
Yeah, generally what I do with RAM, I'm not tied to any one brand. What I do is I'll usually just go and read the reviews and see if there's lots of returns on that one, whatever set that I'm looking at.
Right, yeah. That's the smart way to do it, you know. Okay, so RAM's good. You know, in terms of video card, I'm going to stick with my GTX 980. I'm not going to do anything special with my video card for my gaming rig. We're just going to let that be what it is. So the other thing I wanted to mention is that the case, I already bought the case.
Did you get like a C70?
Corsair? It's Corsair. Is that what it was? Was it the K70 or the Z70?
I think it's C.
Was it a C? All I know is that, that's it. It's the C70 mid-tower gaming case. I got it in the military green color. A little birdie told me that that's the exact same case that Palmer Luckey has. And so he and I will be case buddies. Actually, it's a good looking case. I like it. And one of the things I like the most about it is it's really sturdy. I like the idea of the acrylic window on the side. I like to be able to look in and see. I'll probably put some lighting and whatnot in it. But the thing I like the most about it is it's got some really good handles on the top. So when I take this puppy around to different places and set it up for use with, it's not necessarily mobile, but it's definitely not going to stay in one place for very long.
Yeah, so it'd be easy to carry like from your car into a place. It's the handles on it are kind of like the same kind of handles you'd see on an ammo box.
It does. It looks like something that you would pick up as an accessory if you're playing like Doom or Quake. It's got that kind of alien military. Man, I'm looking online here. There's some people made some killer aftermarket additions to this. I'm going to have to do some of this. This is pretty cool. Some of the lighting and all that. You know, you can't just have a rig and then stick it under the table and go, here's my rig. You know, you got to be able to look down at that and go, this is my rig. Yeah. Badass.
So it's nice to admire it sometimes.
It is. It really is. I mean, and you know, especially with so much good cable management nowadays, it's not like the old machines. Old machines, before they put like the acrylic windows on it and stuff, you would jam as many of those stupid cables. You'd have IDE cables and floppy cables, and the power cables would be everywhere. You'd be like, and then you'd hurry up and slam the side of it on and, you know, screw them screws in and hope to God nobody ever opens it up. Because yep. It's going to be a web of disaster if they do. I don't know.
Yeah, now cases are designed that they have more space on the backside of the motherboard, and they have cutouts for right. Cable management. So it looks pretty inside now.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So, yeah, other than that, I guess I'll slap some Windows 10 on there. And the runtimes, I guess Vive, I'll have to install Steam and all of their 8 million updates. I need to install the Oculus software. And the cool thing for me, and I didn't want to get into this too deep, is I've actually got 3 Oculus cameras in my VR dungeon right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got to say, the tracking with 3 cameras is just ridiculously great. It's just fantastic.
Hopefully they sell extra cameras in the future.
I have been bugging them. So if you are a Oculus representative and you're listening to this podcast, first of all, thank you. Please share with your coworkers and friends. Also, figure out how I'm supposed to buy extra cameras. I mean, not just from a personal purpose, but I've got business clients, enterprise problems here, folks. Somebody from Oculus, call me and tell me how I can get extra cameras. And then, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to tear apart my camera, figure out what the sensors are, and I'm gonna backwards engineer the sensors. I'm gonna sell third party cameras.
There you go.
I'm giving you the opportunity, Oculus, to sell me the real deal. But if it takes too long, I'm going to have to just do it myself. So we'll just have to see. Of course, realistically, anybody who has a Rift should be buying the Touch, and then they'll have two cameras. And really, you only need two. If you're a Vive person and you've got your Lighthouse controllers on the wall, just put your Rift sensors right underneath it. It's a perfect placement for it. You know, you'll have a nice 16x16 play area. It works great. But let's not get too far into that. I don't know if any final thoughts, Bob, in terms of builds. I mean, are you worried that I might get something wrong or get something right? What do you think? Am I on the right track here?
I think you're definitely on the right track. I think going with for your usage, going with the X99 is a bit overkill.
Yeah. Well, and you remember over the course of the last couple of months, I've gone back and forth. And other people, notable names in the VR community, is like, oh, go X99. No, go Z70. Oh, no, do this, do that. And really, the answer is you personally have to decide which use case are you. So if you're the kind of person that this is your first VR gaming build and you plan on doing streaming and you don't want to have that two machine setup, go X99. It's obvious. But if you're the kind of person who already has a good build but you're looking for something just a little extra, something that you can just do your VR gaming on, then Z170 is fantastic. So I think we're both in agreement there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I guess the only other thing I want to talk about is, you know, the rest of this month, August being build a new VR PC month, you know, we're going to go through all this, and I'm going to do like I've done, you know, in the past with builds and things. I'm going to do a lot of streaming, Periscope, YouTube, of me putting together all this stuff. I don't know about you, Bob, but I actually enjoy watching people do things like build PCs. I think it's like the cooking channel. I think if there was just a channel of just people building PCs, I think I would watch that an hour each week.
Yeah, it's fun to do too. I've lost count of how many systems that I've built.
Oh yeah, me too. It has to be, well, considering I did it professionally for a little while, it has be up there, you know. Yeah. I bet you I've done over 1,000. Yeah. And only because I know I did 300 for one customer, and I know I did that more than once. So, yeah. Okay. So the rest of this month, I mean, I'm going to pump one out each week for the month of August, and in between all of that, those shenanigans, there are going to be other things happening. So this week, actually tomorrow, I am getting on an airplane and flying down to beautiful, dry, muggy, disgusting Los Angeles, where I will be attending the VRLA Summer Expo. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, go look for me at the expo. And if you're listening to this after the expo and you were there and you didn't see me, I'm sorry. So I will be doing, you know, Twitter posts and Facebook posts and Periscope and video and all sorts of fun stuff. So check me out there. And then hopefully later this week, we'll get another episode of the Left-Handed VR podcast.
Yep. Should be out soon.
Cool. And we'll be looking for that. Great. Well, Bob, you know, you're like I said, you're kind of my mage when it comes to VR hardware. So I appreciate your input on this. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in some of these multiplayer experiences on my new machine, and we'll be like, hey, remember we talked about that? This is that machine, man.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun.
It's going to be so much fun. Looking forward to the future of VR and the future of my hardware. So, all right, folks, we're going to call it a day on this one, and Bob, go back to doing your left-handed VR podcasting, and tell those guys that you know, they might have to come and be guests as well this month as we build new VR PCs and help everybody figure out what architecture is right for them. I'd like to thank Intel for being such a wonderful sponsor, and thank you, everyone, for listening.